Well, Crispin Blunt joining us, the Conservative MP. Hello, Crispin.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Well, you heard from Andrea there this morning, and she's saying that we should be worried now about the implementation of the Good Friday Agreement, about stability in Northern Ireland. Former Secretary of State, who we're going to hear from very shortly, Sean Woodward, will say the same. He says it's morally reprehensible for your party to do a deal with one side of the community in Northern Ireland and not the other.
Well, the DUP have 10 seats in Parliament. The hand the electorate have played to the government is that there is really no choice except to try and negotiate a confidence supply agreement with a party who is in broad agreement with us on Brexit, and broad agreement that putting Jeremy Corbyn into Downing Street would absolutely not be in the national interest.
Yeah, but you clearly, if we just talk about this selfishly, you're clearly trying to save Theresa May ahead of the interests of Northern Ireland. The neutrality now of James Brokenshire as Secretary of State in Northern Ireland is completely compromised, isn't it?
Well, I think James is going to have to play his hand, obviously, very carefully with his responsibilities as Secretary of State, and he's more than capable of doing that.
Is he?
And
how?
Because I know him as an individual.
But his party's duties. Getting into bed with the DUP every night when he goes home.
Well, he's got duties as Secretary of State under the Good Friday Agreement. And both parties have a responsibility to produce a government of the United Kingdom when we need for the whole country to negotiate the exit from the European Union. Which is the most important challenge facing the nation.
So, Crispin, the nation. But in terms of Northern Ireland, Crispin, let's look at a couple of issues. So Sinn Féin say that they want an Irish Language Act before they will go back into local government here. Arlene Foster's position before the election was never under her watch. I wonder who James Brokenshire is going to favour in that one. Sinn Féin say that they want equal marriage before they'll go into local government here. I wonder who the Tory party are going to favour on that one. Your party is completely compromised, partnering up with one side of the community in Northern Ireland and not the other.
Well, except you pick out an issue there on equal marriage, where the view of the government and the majority, I think, of the Conservative Party now is firmly aligned in favour of equal marriage.
So you're going to stand up to the DUP in that?
Well, let the view of the Conservative Party be pretty clear on that. Now, I don't know, and I'm as to exactly how these decisions are then going to be framed in terms of trying to put back together the government in Northern Ireland. And I don't see that things have fundamentally changed in the responsibilities on the Secretary of State, and crudely on the responsibilities on the DUP and Sinn Féin to come to an agreement. They're the ones who've got to negotiate this. And in the end, if they can't produce a working arrangement, then the Secretary of State...
But Chris, in Northern Ireland, it's often about perception and a community having confidence that they are being treated equally. How on earth can the nationalist community in Northern Ireland have any confidence that James Brokenshire is going to treat them equally and fairly if his boss, if Theresa May's whole survival is now dependent on the DUP getting what they want?
Well, they have a responsibility and indeed a guarantee under the whole constitutional arrangement that it flows from the Good Friday Agreement. It's, in the end, not about perception. It's actually about the reality of the agreement that was negotiated that gives both communities a clear role in the administration of the province. And that's where they should look to for their comfort. And indeed, both sides of the community are now going to have to sit down, and if they want devolved government to continue, they're going to have to compromise. Both sides
Stephen,
have to compromise.
Go on, Andrew.
To bring us through.
I think that completely ignores what's been happening over the past 3 years in terms of negotiations between the parties. The parties have been engaged in negotiations at different points with the institutions in crisis at different stages. First of all, leading to the Stormont House Agreement, then the Fresh Start Agreement, and then the collapse at Christmas over the RHI scandal, where really the way the relationships between the two parties have completely failed. The British government have also failed within that. There's been a failure by the British government to observe their own obligations under international treaties, not least under the European Convention of Human Rights, in delivering to people who've been bereaved by the conflict. And those failures are all adding up. And now to have the British government, whose own neutrality was already being questioned, not only by Sinn Féin, but also the Irish government and around the Fresh Start Agreement, to have them in this agreement with the DUP is going to be a significant issue. Really, the questions today should be being asked of the Irish government. What are the Irish government going to do today as co-guarantors to ensure that the integrity of these agreements can be observed?
Crispin, let me just play you a summary of what some members of the DUP have stood for over the years in Northern Ireland. This is the party that your party is teaming up with.
The child should be allowed to be born, and if the mother, for very good reason, believes that she doesn't want to keep the child, well, then there are parents throughout Northern Ireland who would love the opportunity to adopt that child.
So she should go through 9 months of pregnancy, having been raped, give birth to that baby, and then hand it over to someone else. That's quite acceptable.
And Linda, that is a terribly difficult...
But is that acceptable to you?
The other option is that you kill the child, who's a totally innocent victim in this terrible set of circumstances.
Whatever the visitor centre is eventually brought into existence, that all the relevant information and all the various ideas as to how the stones were formed are set before people. The problem to date has been that we only have a very narrow interpretation from an evolutionary point of view as to how these particular stones were formed. And I think that that is a very unlevel playing field, and I think that it does a disservice to the information and to the interpretation of the data that already exists.
No, I do not believe in man-made climate change. And of course, there's a wide body of political, economic and scientific opinion which takes the same view as I do.
And I believe that a woman in that circumstances should be given the option of having the child and either keeping the child or more likely to have the child adopted.
So it is acceptable to you that a woman should go through that 9 months, a birth?
Yes. I believe that the option of killing the unborn child is one that should not be considered in that situation.
I have a very lovely psychiatrist who works with me in my offices, and his Christian background is that he tries to help homosexuals, trying to turn away from what they are engaged in.
Well, this kind of voyeurism that I think that some people... to extent, that's exactly how it would be viewed in some cases. If you've got somewhere else to go, why do you have to come into the House of Commons chamber, have it on film and everything else, when there's somewhere else we can give your child...
What is voyeuristic about it?
To me, anyone who chooses to do it in the chamber rather than to do it in the quietness of their office or whatever is doing it for reasons other than simply feeding the child.
But Sammy,
there's you make a point.
Do you think, for example, that homosexuality is disgusting?
Absolutely.
Do you think that homosexuality should be loathed?
Absolutely.
Do you think it is right for people to have a physical disgust towards homosexuality?
Absolutely.
Does it make you nauseous?
Yes.
Do you think it's something that is shamefully wicked and vile?
Yes, of course it is.
Right.
It's an abomination. How much stronger a word can one use to clarify what homosexuality is to the Lord Jesus Christ?
He has clarified his comments. He has clarified it in the same way that I have. I wouldn't trust Muslims to give me spiritual advice. I wouldn't trust Muslims who are bombing and shooting. I wouldn't trust those who are following Sharia law to the letter. However, as I said, there are many of the normal daily activities of life that I would no difficulty in trusting a Muslim to go down to the shop for me, to give me the right change.
You sure you stand with voyeurism? Because voyeurism is defined as the sexual interest in spying on people involved in intimate acts.
Exhibitionism then, if you want me to use another word.
Are you saying that women who breastfeed are exhibitionists?
No, I'm saying, Stephen, don't be putting words in my mouth.
Well, I'm not. You use voyeurism, which has a sexual element to it. Now you're saying they're exhibitionists.
I'm saying that there are alternative places.
If I went up the Falls Road tomorrow and went into the bakery that President Clinton visited and ordered a cake and asked the baker to put on that cake, the Shankill butchers were right. Do you think that bakery in it would be within its rights to refuse?
Oh, but that's a completely different thing.
It's not,
because that would be a crime. The Shankill butchers were murdering criminals.
With respect, it's not. It is the principle.
It's entirely different. The principle, that would be incitement.
No, Noel, the principle is the same.
This is not the jurisdiction of this House. This is not the jurisdiction of this government, of any European government or any government in the world. This is an ordained constitution of God. In the Garden of Eden, it was Adam and Steve. It wasn't Adam and Eve, it wasn't Adam and Steve.
The Crispin Blood, that's just some of the DUP views. I've got to say though, just to be clear, the DUP have a huge mandate in Northern Ireland. Quite a few people support those views that you've just heard. Do you? Does your party?
Well, no, of course it doesn't. And I've had a cheerful weekend, as no doubt every other Conservative MP, with our opponents in Great Britain trying to associate us with those views, when of course the Conservative Party is now in a place where it's got as many gay MPs as any other party. The DUP members of Parliament are sitting in the gayest Parliament in the world, just about. And
when you say associate, of course you're associating yourselves. You're partnering up with them.
We're negotiating a confidence and supply arrangement that is completely different from a coalition, or even putting together a joint.
Your whole survival in government is dependent on that party.
There's got to be, you've then got to accept that their social views, which all of which are either free vote matters or devolved matters, and certainly they're going to have nothing to do with representation of my constituents in any way whatsoever. But we're putting together a rather serious matter of a government of the United Kingdom that is then going to have to be stable enough for 2 years to negotiate the exit of the UK from the European Union, which was the result of a referendum on the 23rd of June last year. There is a task to do, as well as get on with the normal business of government as well. There's a double duty now placed on parliamentarians.
To support
a functioning administration.
Well, let's go back. For example, let's go back to what we were saying just a matter of minutes ago about the Secretary of State in Northern Ireland, James Brokenshire's capacity and ability to be a neutral player in Northern Ireland. From what you've just heard, and by the way, we didn't play the clip where another member of the DUP believes that Hurricane Katrina was a punishment on gay people. So when these talks are going on in Northern Ireland, and you've got Sinn Féin saying they want, in order to establish a local government, they want gay marriage in Northern Ireland, and the DUP saying absolutely not, are the Tories going to feel free and easy to take the DUP on over that? Or are you going to be a little bit more worried now because Theresa May collapses if you lose the DUP support? She's gone. She's dead in the water.
Frankly, I think the dynamic on resolving any of those issues in Northern Ireland has changed. Those are default matters. Whatever it is, a petition of concern within the Northern Ireland Assembly has meant that progress has not been possible on those issues. I don't understand how that changes. Now,
how it changes is because...
At one level, I'm applauding...
Of course you understand how it changes.
Well, the
Secretary of State plays a key role in the negotiating situation in Northern Ireland when the executive is trying to be reformed.
If the executive is to be reformed, it is then going to need either side of the aisle in Northern Ireland to effect the necessary compromises to put the executives back together. And they've now got a month or so to get on with that process and get that done.
And if not, there might be direct rule, Crispin.
Well, there might well be.
And if there is direct rule, I wonder, is your government going to play a fair hand to Sinn Féin when there is direct rule and the interests of the nationalist community in Northern Ireland?
Well, those are the circumstances which we're presented with. But the most important.
Well, what does that mean?
But the most important overarching duty is of Parliament in the United Kingdom to be able to support a government to carry out the duties of the government of the United Kingdom. And we're faced with with not just the normal challenges of government, but an extraordinary one with having to negotiate UK leaving the European Union.
But Crispin, let me ask you this. If there is, because you didn't answer the question with respect, if there is direct rule in Northern Ireland, are you seriously telling me that in terms of what your party decides, because you would be deciding issues in Northern Ireland under direct rule, that's the whole definition of it, for goodness sake, are you telling me that your party wouldn't lean more towards the party that's keeping you alive in government rather than being fair to the nationalist community as well?
But the same responsibilities would fall upon the Secretary of State, then obviously to try and revive the devolved settlement during the period of direct rule, and that and if he isn't then true to the duties that are placed upon him under the agreement and the obvious need to be able to accommodate both sides, then he will be failing in his responsibilities.
What you're saying, Crispin, is like asking a referee who has a Manchester United shirt on the pitch to be fair when they're playing Arsenal.
And Stephen, you're entitled to make that point, and he will come under even greater scrutiny for any perception that the wider confidence and supply arrangement in the United Kingdom Parliament, supporting the United Kingdom government, is then seen to be influencing his behaviour as Secretary of State if we can't get the devolved settlement back up and running. And he's going to have to manage that. That's part of the consequences of the circumstances that we're in. It is unavoidable.
How much do you, because some people might think that you're selfishly looking after yourselves, you don't care about Northern Ireland. How much do you understand Northern Ireland? What are the big issues that you think that you can give the DUP for the benefit of everybody in Northern Ireland?
Stephen, I don't claim to understand Northern Ireland. You would be, to the detail that you're demanding, you would be obviously better talking to Northern Ireland ministers, and then you're probably going to tell me they don't decorate your show very often. But that's a matter for them as to how they get their message across. But what I understand is that my responsibility as a member of the United Kingdom Parliament is to produce a United Kingdom government that can discharge its responsibility. And that means I'm going to support Theresa May. And although I obviously find the social conservatism of the DUP and its strongly religious-based outlook on social issues as a secular liberal member of parliament in the United Kingdom extremely difficult, but I'm my constituents and I are protected from any influence of that, because those issues are either devolved or they're free vote issues in the House of Commons when there's a massive majority in favour of a liberal outlook towards life. But there is a proper responsibility to deliver sound public administration in the circumstances that the electorate have presented us with after the election.
Just finally, I'm reading an article here which was in the Belfast Telegraph, Crispin, 7th of January 2015, in which you claimed that... I'll read it to you. A Conservative former minister has warned his party against entering a coalition with the DUP, suggesting the Northern Irish Party would hold them to ransom over Commons votes. Crispin Blunt claimed. The DUP had already cost taxpayers $1 billion after helping former Prime Minister Gordon Brown narrowly win a Commons vote to extend the maximum time terror suspects could be detained for up to 42 days in 2008. My goodness, you've changed your tune.
Well, I said we don't. It's force majeure, Stephen. I don't want to be in this position. The electorate have put us in this position. And you can, the fact that I'm having to face up to the necessity to this confidence and supply arrangement, given the history and the, frankly, the fabulous negotiators.
You called the DUP. You described the DUP in the House of Commons. You described the DUP in the House of Commons as that lot over there.
That was slightly lighthearted banter in the course of a.
I'm not sure if the DUP felt it like that, because Sammy Wilson replied and accused you of acting like a little Englander.
Well, and all good give and take, of which of all people, Sammy Wilson, who has an extremely fine sense of humour, would understand. And if there was any outrage, it was certainly so outraged. And there is a. There is actually a point that a lot of the DUP colleagues I would regard as friends, certainly capable of doing business with them.